10, and yet we have very prestigious institutions doing less than 10 throughout the country. You know, University of California, San Diego does 4 heart transplants. Advocate Christ in Rush University does 4 apiece in Chicago. Lutheran Hospital in Fort Wayne does 4. University Hospital, which is connected with Case Western in Ohio, does 2. Providence Portland does 2. Temple University Hospital does 4. University of Texas does 5. And Fortred Memorial Lutheran Hospital did 1 in 2010. Is there any, does CMS ever enforce their 10? Have they pulled, have they actually stopped paying anybody for doing heart transplants that you're aware of?
Yes, they have decertified some programs as far as Medicare certification, but that, again, doesn't mean the program has to close. And UNOS has no ongoing requirements. They simply say you have to have a surgeon and a cardiologist that meet certain standards. You must show us your ancillary personnel, and you must have a quality improvement process. I could tell you all about what they require, but there's nothing that says. Again, I sat on the committee, and we reviewed programs, some of whom did have a legitimate need because of their geography in Hawaii, for example, and they're just not going to do that many transplants there, and closing down a program in Hawaii really would be a bother for those people. So in some ways, CMS has to deal with the fact that we are a diverse country.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? I've got one. Okay. Dr. Punt, you covered the cost and the quality issue. On the access, right now, obviously there's 3 programs in the state of Michigan. Is there a, quote, need, close quote, for more, or is there sufficient access given the number of programs and the location they're in right now?
I'm not aware of any evidence that there is an underserved group. If you look at, for example, the country of England, they have 60 million people and do with 7 liver transplant programs. I believe they have even fewer heart transplant programs, but I'm not certain. They are geographically a little more able to deal with that because you can drive most places in England in one day, but you can do that in Michigan too. And I think a solution is partnering together with long-term care so only the really complex part of the transplant event needs to happen at the institution with the experience. And as what was once a real miraculous, amazing thing, today is relatively complex. There's more than one transplant per day in the state, and therefore people have gotten trained, and so there are physicians in the community that are comfortable managing immunosuppression, comfortable recognizing when a patient might have a particular infection that only transplant patients get, and I think that would be a much more effective solution in terms of maintaining the quality for the transplant events.
Thank you. Other questions?
Let me make a comment to your question. You can comment on it. The big cost is actually at the center doing them, as you did a very good job of elaborating. And it would take a fairly large population to support that cost. So even if there was a question, and this, we've done this with other standards, we've run with other standards, Upper Peninsula, you could argue there's going to be an access, but there would never be enough population in the Upper Peninsula to spend millions of dollars for an occasional liver transplant. I mean, your point is correct, but once you get north of Lansing, with a few exceptions, or you know, northwest and northeast in the Lower Peninsula, you simply don't have sufficient population density to support a large medical center with the resources to do this. And this has been an issue with other standards as well.
Other comments or questions? Dr. Punch, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Next person with a card is Bob Meeker from Spectrum. Thought I saw Bob. There he is.
Good morning. morning. I'm Bob Meeker from Spectrum Health, and I'm very grateful to be following Dr. Punch because he made many of the points that I was going to much better than I would have and certainly much more authoritatively. So I can hopefully make my comments brief. When I think about CON, I think its main benefit is a barrier to entry into a market. That once, that to prevent expenditure either of capital dollars or in the case of something like transplant, the investment in very scarce and expensive personnel by limiting the number of participants in the marketplace, if you will. It seems to me that transplant services, particularly organ transplant services, make the most sense for regulation, particularly in limiting the number. I mean, we don't have very many services left that there's a limited number of them in the state or in a region requiring comparative review. Now, I'm not prepared to say that 3 is the absolute best number for the whole state, but a limited number of these services, I think, makes a lot of sense in the case of transplant, particularly because of the scarcity of donated organs, particularly in light of the scarcity of highly trained personnel. In the absence of a barrier to entry, there could be multiple parties that would attempt such a program, maybe not meet the standards of UNOS or CMS, although we've heard that those standards are not terribly rigid, at least from UNOS. But in the process, would have already invested in those personnel and in those resources, so that it seems to me for transplant services, organ transplant services particularly, that CON makes an awful lot of sense. Certainly, Spectrum Health has been the recipient of the most recent heart transplant CON. We certainly believe that the western side of the state does have sufficient population density, to justify transplant services. But even in the case of our heart-lung program, we were very fortunate in recruiting a world-renowned transplant surgeon. But in the case of the lung side, we've had a very difficult time recruiting a transplant pulmonologist, who we've learned there are just a few hundred of them in the entire world. So our heart program is doing very well. The lung part of it is not. And that just illustrates the difficulty of starting these programs.
Thank you, Bob. Any questions?
One, I want you to keep your hands off any of the Henry Ford transplant pulmonologists. Now
all
that you
them?
Said that. Now that
all
you said
them?
That. You know,
we just gave him an idea.
That's one. But two.
Gee, I better call up and find out who we're talking to.
Two. I've warned them about some evil people.
Might consult you a list.
Yeah, right.
Two.
Right.
Two. On a more serious vein, I want to make certain I understand your testimony, please. Are you saying that you feel that the status quo for all the transplant services should be continued? Is that the final one-sentence recommendation, or is that incorrect?
Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
Okay,
this is Commissioner Goldman. The line in the MDCH recommendation that you referred to is the clinical services are constrained by the availability of organ donations. That's sort of a natural experiment argument. You don't need regulation because the market will constrain. When you started your heart program, what if anything did you see about availability of organs?
I can't answer that question specifically because I just haven't been that close to it. I mean, clearly, we were able to find that our patients on the transplant list were able to find matched organs. Our results have been excellent. I think we've done 12 or 13 transplants now. We've had one fatality, which with small numbers, that's still almost 10%, but that's still, we feel very, very good results. So that we have been able to find acceptable matches that have resulted in good results. So I get your drift, and it hasn't been a problem, at least so far for us.
So it hasn't been a problem for your program, and you're doing approximately how many cases per year?
Well, we started in November of 2010, and we've done 12 cases.
And if this line is right, that there are only a limited number of organs, which is what my understanding is, that means those are organs that went to your program and therefore didn't go to other programs. Now, it may be that this all works out because your people were not listed at other programs. They were listed in your program. But I guess what I'm asking is if there's only a limited number and there are existing programs and another, if we're deregulated and another four programs open up, what does that mean for the availability of organs? In other words, in a free market, would people simply migrate to places? The question is if there's not going to be more patients. You're not going to start doing heart transplants on people who don't need them. So it seems to me what this means is the supply of organs would be spread out among all available programs, which ought to mean that each program does less. Is that a fair statement?
That's the point that I was trying to make, and yeah. I think that Dr. Punch made much better than I, that that there are, as you say, a finite number of patients. Now, I think that what we've discovered is that there were at least a few patients who came to our program who would not have gone elsewhere for a transplant. They just didn't want to go out of the area, either to Chicago or Ann Arbor. So that of the 12, and I'm just guessing now, maybe three or four were net additional patients who wouldn't have benefited from this therapy. But you know, by and large, the pool is still pretty much the same, and certainly the pool of organs, even with pushes in communities and across the state for organ donation, is relatively finite.
And in terms of programs in general, certainly not your program or other existing programs, do you agree with Dr. Punch that the fewer you do, the higher the potential for quality issues?
That's certainly my opinion. I don't have the data that Dr. Punch has.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments for Bob? Bob, thank you very much. Next, from Gift of Life Michigan, Amy Olszewski. I apologize if I botched the name.
I'm used to it.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Amy Olszewski from Gift of Life, Michigan. I'm passing around some written testimony from the Chief Executive Officer, Richard Petrosky. And actually, I'm testifying in favor of the recommendation of the department that the regulations for heart, lung, liver, and also for pancreas are eliminated at the state level. We did provide a crosswalk 3 years ago when we went through pancreas. We had a SAC to discuss the standards. And we provided a crosswalk between OPTN, CMS, and the Michigan standards. And at the time, we discussed the fact that the pancreas standards were actually limiting the ability for programs to transplant pancreata in the state. Why are we supportive of this? I wanted to first address the issue that was just asked regarding the availability of organs in the state. We do export a large number of organs. We do not have all of the organs that are recovered in the state of Michigan transplanted in the state of Michigan. And so the argument that there is a lack of organs available for transplant is one that needs to be discussed. And I would just like to say that we do support the creation of a SAC or perhaps a work group to talk further about this issue, because it is a very complex issue. And the standards need to be looked at very closely at the federal level and what we can do at the state level to sort of more piggyback and encourage those standards. Perhaps the standards would exist in the future, but the standards would be more in line with what we already have at the federal level. I do believe, I do agree with the governor, that the more regulation you have, the higher the cost of any service. And so the question has to be, at what point do the state regulations become overly burdensome and not cost effective for our state? And we would love to be part of that discussion as it moves forward this year.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Sandler.
Yeah, I'm a little confused or do not follow your comment about the lack, that the lack of organs is not a limiting factor, or Michigan may be exporting organs, but that, my understanding, perhaps Dr. Punch can help me, has to do with matching organs with donors.
Yes, and
in other states. It's not related to the capacity of the existing institutions in the state.
Well, when we export an organ, it means that the organ was accepted in another state. It does not mean that that acceptance was the perfect match for the organ. Each transplant center is allowed to set their own guidelines on their acceptance of organs. And so a heart that may not be accepted by a Michigan transplant center may be accepted by the Cleveland Clinic. And it's not medically, it's not always for the perfect match reason.
Yes,
but there may be other reasons behind that.
But it's not related to the capacity of the existing institutions that have these programs.
I couldn't tell you why we're exporting. Each organ would have to be looked at.
But yeah, but again, my understanding,
they do have patients waiting.
Dr. Punch
so
can comment on this, is that there is capacity at the existing places in existing programs in the state presently to do more cases.
Yes, they have people waiting for
okay.
organs in
there. That's not the issue. When you're exporting an organ, it has to do with that specific organ, not the lack of capacity or the lack of Michigan patients. I want to clarify that.
Yes.
Okay.
But I do believe it needs to be discussed at the work group level. It's quite a complex issue, the allocation and ultimately the acceptance of an organ at a transplant center. And so, yes, there is a capacity, and yes, there are organs available, and whereas A may not match with A, there is the capability, perhaps, for A to match with B. It's sort of a very complex issue, the allocation of organs.
This is Commissioner Kashashian. Do you have any idea how many organs we transplant out of the state, that there are patients here that would be, they were on the list at Cleveland Clinic, that they would have transplanted with this heart or this liver?
I just know that when we presented the data, pancreas alone, now we're not talking about heart, lung, liver, we did go very in-depth and look at the status of the patients. It does, for us, the ability to do that research would require every transplant center to basically provide us full information about the patient that perhaps was the person who was offered the organ, because it is their ability to decline with reason. And so we don't necessarily have access to the patient. But we do know that approximately at that point, we had somewhere around 25% of our organs, which may have been transplanted here in Michigan, were being exported out of state.
I just want to make sure, you're referring to pancreas or heart, liver, and lung?
I'm referring here to pancreas only.
Right.
This
is heart, liver, and lung we're talking now. Do you have any idea how many organs that we're transporting out of state, just in general, and then transporting where there is a person here that could have accepted it if, and for lack of a better term, the surgeons were more aggressive and taken minor mismatches or major mismatches? And you have
and
no idea.
I don't have that data available right now. We can certainly provide that as part of the work group in SAC.
Okay. Other questions, comments? I have one. I mean, in the handout you gave us, you talked about the rationale for discontinuing is because of the federal oversight and the references here to that the national OPTN requires each approved program to meet what's called in here rigid criteria. We've heard from other witnesses that I think they might disagree with the phrase rigid criteria. So could you comment on that, please?
Well,